CBS News reported earlier this week that government documents marked classified had been found at the Penn Biden Center, where President Biden had had an office for several years, including after his term as vice president. We've since learned about additional documents that turned up in Biden's private residence in Delaware. Yesterday, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced the Justice Department would be looking into all of it.
I strongly believe that the normal processes of this department can handle all investigations with integrity. But under the regulations, the extraordinary circumstances here require the appointment of a special counsel for this matter. This appointment underscores for the public the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters, and to making decisions indisputably guided only by the facts and the law.
That special counsel will focus on the Biden document story. There's already another special counsel focused in part on former President Trump's removal of classified documents. House Judiciary Committee announced today that it would conduct oversight of this special counsel investigation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about all of this? What is similar, what is different between the investigations into classified documents regarding current President Biden, former President Trump? What's your reaction to all of this? Do you think we need to change the way we handle these documents in the first place? What do you think about the appointment of a special counsel? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. David Schultz is professor of political science at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He's the author of the book, Politainment, The 10 Rules of Contemporary Politics. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in.
Can you share your thoughts, first of all, on the appointment of a special counsel by the attorney general to investigate these documents?
It's probably necessary at this point, given the fact that there's a special counsel who was also appointed to do investigations regarding Donald Trump on a variety of matters, and given the fact that the attorney general is now being asked to investigate his boss, you really need a process set up to take it away from him and have somebody independent do this. There's a broader discussion probably to have about the fact that post-Watergate, we did have a special prosecutor law in place permanently to address these issues, and it expired in the 1990s. And we may want to have a larger discussion at some point regarding the desirability of bringing such a law back in terms of not having it ad hoc like it is here. But I think given the difficulty of potential, and I say potential violations of the law within the executive branch, an independent counsel is necessary here.
Yeah, the attorney general is this weird kind of ambiguous position. They're a cabinet appointee of the president, confirmed by the Senate. They're in the chain of command with the president at the top of it, but they're supposed to be independent too and able to investigate the current executive branch, among other things. Does that create a natural tension there?
It does create a natural tension. And what also makes it more complicated here is that the person who's the attorney general, besides reporting to the president, is supposed to represent the United States of America, representing, you know, the government. But at the same time, in some situations, the attorney general provides, let's say, some legal advice to the president, not the president's personal legal counsel, but provides counsel. And so this creates a series of conflicts of interest and difficulties in terms of sorting them out. So the idea of creating a special counsel is to try to address this issue. One can sort of argue that one of the things that maybe our constitutional framers missed, you know, back in 1787 in drafting the Constitution, is how do we go about policing the executive branch, which is entrusted to enforce the law, if there's allegations that somebody, including the president, has violated the law? This is a problem for us.
Before we get into the particulars of these documents, you mentioned to our producer we should first talk about the Presidential Papers Act. Why is that an important first step?
Okay, so the Presidential Papers Act was adopted, I believe, in 1980, 1981. And it's a really simple concept that says that the papers of the President of the United States do not belong to the President of the United States in terms of official government documents. That while the president is president, obviously they produce lots of documents, lots of memos and so forth like that. But when that person leaves office, they do not get to take the government documents with them. They are supposed to be deposited with the National Archives for posterity, for future history. And the reason why I mention this is that across the board, whether we're talking about Donald Trump, whether we're talking about Joe Biden, or take us back to 2016 regarding allegations against Secretary Clinton and emails, at the end of the day, these papers, these communications are supposed to belong to the president, or rather belong to the National Archives, and should not be treated as personal property. So the question becomes, for our purposes with Trump and with Biden, how did these papers get into their personal possession? And then what should we be doing about it? And how have the two of them responded in terms of returning these materials back to the United States and to the archives?
Talking to David Schultz, political scientist at Hamline University, law professor at the University of Minnesota, looking at presidential documents. The news this week that when he left the White House as vice president, Joe Biden ended up with some of these classified documents in an office and at his personal residence. This follows the long-running story of former President Trump taking documents with him. You can join in with your reactions, your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And with these documents in Biden's apparent possession, David, we don't have a ton of details. What do we know that you see as significant?
Well, what we know at this point, it seems to be a small number, although I think a story later today seems to be increasing the number. And what we seem to know in terms of a contrast here is that when Trump left the White House, he took an undisclosed number, although we now think it's about several hundred documents, some of them classified, some of them top secret, to the Mar-a-Lago. They were not safely stored. And then when requested by the Justice Department to return them, there was an initial denial that they had anything. Eventually, the Justice Department had to secure a search warrant to go get these documents. In the case of Joe Biden, right now it seems like it's a more limited number of documents that Biden has discovered and is now turning over and cooperating with the Justice Department. And this seems to be, I think, an important factual difference between the two in terms of how both Trump and Biden are approaching these documents and how they're responding to complying with the presidential papers law.
Now, I mentioned the House Judiciary Committee looking at an investigation into the Biden documents. On the one hand, you might say, okay, yeah, of course, Republicans in the House, they're going to want to go after a Democrat in the White House. On the other hand, this is part of what Congress is supposed to do, right? This is their role to provide oversight over the executive branch.
You're absolutely correct. And there is I think if we cut through some of the partisanship, there is a bigger concern here, is the fact that we now have a former vice president who's now president and a former president who have in possession documents that they're not supposed to have at this point. And I think Congress should legitimately figure out, do we need to change the law? Do we need to strengthen it? You know, what are some different protocols that are in place to make sure that these documents don't slip out? To the best of our knowledge, neither the documents in Biden's possession nor Trump's possession, to the best of our knowledge, have compromised, let's say, national security or anything critical. But that's a legitimate concern for Congress to think about. And just for people, I want to put a perspective in here, is for those people who are listeners who have served in the military, for example, they would know that any classified material, they have to guard very cautiously. And for any of us who've ever worked from home, where we want to, like, you know, access files from home or take files home, most of us know that there's all types of protocols in place to protect a company's secrets. We should think of the same issue here. How does Congress, in its legitimate oversight functions, ensure that we do not compromise national security or confidential information? And that's a legitimate job for this Congress to look at.
Let's bring in a caller at 800-642-1234. Rick is with us in Monona. Rick, hi.
Hi. I'm sorry that this happened to Biden. I don't know if there's something wrong with the system of keeping track of those top secret papers. But the thing I really wanted to talk about is how the Democrat or the Republicans were so quiet during this whole thing with Trump, and Trump was fighting it tooth and nail and not responding, and that they had to go in with the FBI and a search warrant. The Republicans didn't say anything other than the FBI was being weaponized. But now, suddenly, when they find Biden has these papers, they're all over it with investigations, with assessments, and with the special counsel. I just get kind of annoyed at that. Maybe that's a sign that we really do have a broken government.
Rick, thanks for the call. Just one clarification. I've seen classified, the word used to describe these documents in Biden's possession. I don't know that I've seen top secret yet, David. But to Rick's wider point, the varying partisan response to these two different instances.
I think he's absolutely correct here, is that we are seeing on both sides very different partisan responses. For the Democrats, when it was Trump, it was like, go get him. Again, Republicans seem to be like, you know, this is what? This is just harassing a former president. Now the shoe is on the other foot. And what I'm trying to sort of argue here is the fact that we've got a broader principle at stake here, a broader concern about that we have a law in place that says these documents are to be protected. Presidents or former presidents, former vice presidents do not get to leave the job taking these documents with them. We need to figure out, are there better protocols in place, better procedures to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future? Again, it doesn't look like in either situations that national security was compromised as far as we know, or that secrets got out to the enemy. But there may be things that we need to do to make sure this doesn't happen in the future. And even if we assume for the sake of argument that both Trump and Biden were, let's say, benign, their motives were not harmful, there still appears to be a problem here we need to address.
Rick, thanks for that call. We're talking to David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, professor of law at the University of Minnesota, looking at the government documents marked classified that have turned up in an office used by President Joe Biden, as well as Biden's private residence in Delaware, apparently stemming from his departure from the White House after his term as vice president. Also, comparisons and contrasts with former President Trump and his document story. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions about this new special counsel investigation, the one applied to former President Trump as well. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University, of law at the University of Minnesota, looking at the special counsel appointment to look at classified documents in an office used by now President Biden after his term as vice president and at his residence, and comparisons with the Trump classified document investigation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. John is with us in Lake Halley. John, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. As much as I believe there is a difference between the former president and the current one, both of them have actually broken the law, and both of them are disqualified from running for office.
John, thanks for the call. Both, he says, broke the law. He was breaking up a little bit there and should be disqualified, John says, from running for office. What do you think?
Well, at this point, it does look like both of them have broken the law. Now, when I say broken the law, we have to, obviously the law, if they did something, it looks like they're wrong. Whether or not they're criminally culpable, that's what the whole purpose of the special investigators or special prosecutors are for. In terms of whether they should be disqualified for running for office in the future, that probably becomes a question for the public to decide at this point, you know, that how do you put this into the mix in terms of thinking about as potential nominees for 2024? I'll pass on answering that question. I think that's the choice of the American public.
John, thanks for that call. Jim joins us now in Dubuque. Jim, hi.
Nothing but season bait.
Oh, you there, hello? Jim? Yeah, yes. You're on the air, Jim. Go for it.
It's my understanding that anybody who takes secure documents out of the appropriate location is breaking the law, whether they're vice president or whatever, except that a president can declassify documents at his will, and there is no legal procedure or proof needed. I haven't seen any evidence that he did not declassify documents that he had. Has anybody, until we know what the contents of these documents are, we can't know whether they might have been taken because they were incriminating and the person didn't want them available. We need to know what the documents were about.
Jim, thanks for the call. A couple points there. The idea that, yeah, if you were that person in the military you mentioned earlier, David, or a contractor or whatever, you might well face consequences in terms of losing your job or going to jail. Are things different for a president or a vice president?
No, they are not, actually. And there's been a lot of talk out there saying, well, presidents can just on their own just declassify documents. And the answer is not really, is that there is a established procedure that must be followed both to classify documents in terms of classified, secret, top secret, et cetera, like that. But at the same time, if a president wants to, let us say, I'll just make up an example here. We wanted for some reason to make public information regarding, let's say, our nuclear fleet or something like that. A president just can't say, here's the information. There is a set of protocols and rules for declassifying. I know there's what at one point Donald Trump made some kind of argument that said he can just sort of, you know, declassify by what is it by, you know, was it by his mind or something like that? I can't remember what his phrase was. The answer is no. There's our system has rules in place to how to do this. And presidents, too, would be held accountable or should be held accountable if they release information that's supposed to be classified without following the proper procedures.
Thanks for the call. Josh joins us now in Waukesha. John, hi.
Oh, it'd be Josh in Waukesha.
Oh, Josh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't have my glasses on.
It's my understanding that as president, he has the authority to be in charge of these documents, and also that the FBI was aware that Trump was in possession of these documents, and even just simply told him to put a lock on them, and they had access to them prior to the raid, and he had the right and authority to have those as president. But Biden, as vice president, did not have that same governmental authority over these documents that a president would have. So, and I just have to disagree that the president doesn't have authority over documents that he sees as necessary for him to have access to or decide where and when he is storing those documents. I don't understand how.
Got it. Josh, thanks for calling in. I had thought that too, David, the president-vice president thing, but there was a 2009 Obama-era executive order that does give a vice president the power to declassify documents while they're in office. So, but the fact is, like, it doesn't seem like they went through the process in either case to declassify these.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I think the point is, well, is exactly the point I was trying to make there, is that a president or vice president does have control of the documents, but if they want to declassify, they have to go through a process. But just sort of added up here also, too, is that once they're no longer president, once they're no longer vice president, they have no authority whatsoever to either have these documents in their possession or to try to take any action to declassify it. Because what? They're no longer in power. So those are critical things to point out here. Yes, perhaps while Trump was president, maybe it's okay for him to have the documents at Mar-a-Lago where he was working. But clearly, once he's no longer president, he shouldn't have those possession. But this does raise a bigger question, is that If presidents are going to be working somewhere else, and this is my analogy to us working at home, if we're working at home, most of, as far as I know, our companies are going to have protocols for how we protect any trade secrets, how we access files, et cetera, et cetera. We may be thinking about a question of saying, should we allow presidents to be able to move classified documents to non-secure locations, such as private residences or vacation places? I think this is part of what the investigations with Congress need to address.
I want to take a minute or so to look at the appointee as special counsel to investigate the documents that had been in Biden's possession. This is Robert Herr. He'd been a Maryland U.S. attorney. He was a Trump appointee to that post and served in the Trump White House. What do you think of the politics and the image of that choice?
I think they had to do something like that. I think it's a good choice, by the way. He's got a clean reputation, as far as I know. And the fact that you're having somebody who was appointed by the previous president, I think should take some of the concern out with some people thinking, well, it's just a Democrat with a Democratic attorney general hiring a Democratic prosecutor. The fact that they're going to give independence to a Trump-appointed person certainly isn't going to assuage all critics, but I think it moves in a good direction.
David, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
My pleasure, and thank you to the listeners.
That's David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University and professor of law at the University of Minnesota. We talked to him today about the developing story of government documents that had been marked classified that were found in an office and then a residence of President Joe Biden, and how the facts of that story compare and contrast with a similar one surrounding former President Donald Trump. Keep watching at WPR.org. We'll keep sharing reporting from NPR as that story develops.